Well, thank you, Brother David, and God bless you. Hello, saints. Good to be back with you. It's a cold day here. Let's go to the Lord. Lord, we just praise you and we glorify you, Lord, and we thank you for giving us these verses, these scriptures that teach us how to pray effectively, Lord. And we just praise you and we glorify you for the word that goes out today, that it's going to be a blessing to folks and help them in their prayer language, prayer time. And Father, we just praise you for that in Jesus' name. Anoint us today, Lord, to say the things that you want us to say that would be helpful to the people out there. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Well, what I want to talk about today is learning how to pray effectively. And that's one of the most important things that a believer can ever do in his Christian walk. Listen, a believer can't be a success in fulfilling God's purpose in his life if he doesn't know how to pray according to biblical principles. And every believer's prayer life should be based and built upon the Word of God. And the first thing we all need to do when we get ready to pray is decide what you want from God, and then look up and find the scripture or scriptures that definitely promises you these things. As a lot of times we're so indefinite in our praying. And folks, I'm telling you, it's better to pray 2 or 3 minutes and know what they're praying about than to pray for 2 or 3 hours and not know what you're praying about. Now, I know that there's kinds of prayer out there where we pray to have fellowship with God, but I'm talking about praying to God specifically in order to receive an answer to prayer. And if we're not careful, praying to have fellowship with God will spill over into the realm of praying specifically in order to receive an answer. So decide what you want from God and be definite about it. And then find the scriptures from the Word that promise you whatever it is that you want, and be specific in your prayer time. Because there's too few Christians realize that the importance of the Word of God in prayer. We know that faith begins where the will of God is known. And we know that God's Word is His will, right? So find those scriptures that definitely promise the things that you're asking for. And if the scriptures don't promise you the things that you're desiring, you don't have no business praying for those things. And you shouldn't want anything that the Word of God says you shouldn't have, right? Too many believers are trying to pray beyond their faith, but it's the Word that gives you faith. The reason many people are not praying with confidence and faith is that they're not finding scripture that proves that God wants them to have those things that they are desiring. And they don't know for sure if it's God's will or not. They might hope it is, but they can't know for sure because faith begins where the will or the Word of God is known, right? Once you find the scriptures that promise you what you desire from God, get those scriptures firmly fixed in your heart, not just in your mind. Put them in your heart. And in order to do that, you need to meditate on the Word of God. Joshua 1:8 says this, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Another translation says that thou mayest be able to deal wisely in the affairs of life. Success in life comes by meditating on God's Word. That's the way you'll build God's Word into your inner consciousness, into your spirit. And as you feed upon the Word by meditating, you'll be ready to use these scriptures against demons who's going to try to make you doubt God, who'll try to rob you of what you want. It's the devil that tries to make you doubt God, folks. And it's a lot of times people that haven't known the Word of God have prayed And if they didn't get the answer right away when they thought they ought to, most of them say, well, it must not be the will of God for me to get healing or whatever it is that you're praying for. But all the time, the promises of God were there for them to appropriate. And if whatever you're praying about is in the Word, then it is the will of God. And when you get that Word firmly fixed in your heart and mind, you can use it against the devil. When Jesus was tempted by the devil to turn the stones into bread, what did Jesus do? He answered with the Word of God. He said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And then the Bible says Satan took Jesus up on a pinnacle of the temple and tempted Jesus again. In Matthew 4, 7 through 11, it says, Jesus said unto him, again it is written, thou shalt not make trial of the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up unto an exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he said unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Jesus didn't use a single weapon to defeat the devil on this occasion that the saints of God don't have available to them today. When you are being tempted by the enemy, all you have to do is say, devil, it is written, and then use the Word of God against Satan. But in order to be able to say that and to resist that devil effectively, you have to be armed with the sword of the Spirit. In other words, the Word of God. And you have to hide God's Word in your heart by meditating on it continually in order for it to work for you. Then you'll be able to withstand the attacks of the enemy. Now, it takes a little time sometimes to build the Word into your spirit so you can stand in faith for an answer to prayer. The Bible says to fight the good fight of faith in 1 Timothy 6 and 12. If there weren't any hindrances to faith, there wouldn't be a fight, would there? Now, when it comes to the natural things, people will fight tooth and toenail for what belongs to them. But when it comes to spiritual things, many times they just roll over and play dead. You know, if God's Word says something belongs to you, then it belongs to you. So put up a fight by standing your ground on God's Word. If God didn't intend for you to have what He promised you, then He wouldn't have promised it to you. It's up to you to fight that good fight of faith with the Word of God and receive your promised blessings and all that God has promised you. When it comes to natural things, people will stand up for what belongs to them. But when it comes to spiritual things and receiving healing or the blessings and benefits of God that belong to us, many believers don't stand their ground with the Word of God. And some of them even think they're being humbled by saying, well, the will of God be done. Well, that's really the will of Satan that's being done, you see. There's a good fight of faith that the believer has to fight in order to appropriate and receive his promised blessing, his rightful inheritance in Christ. And in order to fight the good fight of faith, you have to learn how to use the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Fighting a good fight of faith is speaking the Word right out of your mouth that you believe in your heart or your spirit. And that's why it's important to hide the Word of God in your heart and be ready to use scriptures against demons when they try to attack you and try to make you doubt God's Word. Be ready to say to Satan, it is written, and to quote God's Word, which is God's will about the situation. There's going to be many who will side in with the devil and going to believe his lies over God's Word. And there's also going to be folks out there who in the natural will unconsciously side in with the devil to try to discourage you in spiritual things in your faith. But you need to stand your ground on God's Word. And if the enemy attacks you in spirit, soul, or body, get him back with the Word. If it were true that sickness is the will of God, as many of these apostate preachers out there claim, how come there's a lot of churches out there that build hospitals to try to get people well? Because they'd get people out of the will of God, if that's what they're thinking. Doctors are fighting sicknesses and diseases too, but they're fighting with different weapons. If it were God's will for people to be sick, then it would not be God's will for people to go to doctors, would it? Because doctors are fighting sicknesses and diseases too. And if it's the will of God for people to be sick, then why don't we pray for other people to come sick so that they can enjoy that same blessing of sickness and disease and being God's will? Boy, some of this stuff just don't really make a whole lot of sense, does it? When you have the foundation of God's word under you, you can stand your ground against Satan's attacks. So ask God for the things you want and believe that you receive them. Certainly the Lord knows what we need even before we ask, but he still said for us to ask him, didn't he? The Bible says your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things in Matthew 6 and 32. But he also tells you to ask for what you need. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full in John 16, 24. And to say that you're leaving it up to God and that you know he will automatically do whatever is best is unscriptural. Jesus himself said we are to ask God for what we need in John 16, 23 and 24. And in that day you shall ask me no question. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if you shall ask anything of the Father, he will give it you in my name. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be made full. Then Matthew chapter 7 and verses 7 and 8. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds, and him that knocks it shall be opened. Then Mark 11, 23 and 24. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou taken up and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe what he said comes to pass, he shall have it. Therefore I say unto you, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that you received them, and you shall have them. So we need to ask God for the things you want and need, and then believe that you have already received them. In other words, when you pray, believe you received what you asked for. Mark 11, 24 is a good one. It challenges you, doesn't it? It says, in effect, believe you received right then when you pray. The Amplified says this, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe, trust, and be confident that it is granted to you and you will get it. So you've got to believe you got your answer before you get your answer. Believe God, folks, and don't believe Satan. Satan will tell you that you don't have the answer to your prayer, because Satan operates in the sense realm. Satan is operating as the god of this world, isn't he? 2 Corinthians 4 and 4 says, in whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should not dawn upon them. Listen, you ain't going to get anywhere spiritually until you realize that there are two kinds of truth. There's sense knowledge truth and revelation truth, which is the truth of God's word. Some people think that truth pertains to things that they can see with their physical eye. But you can't see the things of the Spirit. Spiritual things are not natural, and they are not material. Everything we need is provided for us in the spiritual realm by God's word. Ephesians 1 and 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. That scripture means that everything we need has already been provided for us in Christ Jesus. You can't see them, but they are there because God's word says they're there. There is sense knowledge truth, and there is revelation truth. And when sense, knowledge, truth contradicts revelation truth, the truth of God's word, then I start walking by revelation truth. I start walking by what God has said in his word, not by what I look at, that I can see in my sense, with my natural eye. That which is in the spiritual realm is made real in the natural realm through my faith in the word of God. In other words, my faith grabs it and creates the reality of it in my life. Romans 4 and 17, and calls the things that are not as though they were. So when you pray, believe that you received whatever it is you're praying for, and you shall have it. Folks, that's beyond natural thinking. In fact, the natural mind can't grasp it. And the majority of the leaders of our churches today are sense knowledge people. And that sense knowledge has taken the church captive. But the word of God says in 2 Corinthians 5 and 7, we are to walk by faith and not by sight. So we need to believe the truth and not a lie, don't we? People have to act like the scriptures are true. If you don't act like the word is true, they're walking by what their senses are telling them and not by what the Bible says. And that's what's throwing them off. They're missing the faith realm entirely, which is based on what the word of God says, not on what they see or feel. Let every thought and desire affirm that you have what you ask for. And after you pray in faith according to God's word, never permit a mental picture of failure to remain up in your mind. Now, I'm talking about receiving answers to prayer. Once you've prayed and asked God for something, never doubt for 1 minute that you have the answer. And if doubt persists, rebuke them. Get your mind on the answer. And to get your mind on the answer, you'll have to get your mind on the word of God. The Bible says to resist the devil and he will flee from you in James 4 and 7. 1 Peter 5 and 8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. So doubts from the devil. You have to resist doubts and rebuke them. You have to get your mind on the answer, which is God's word. In order to receive answers to your prayers, you have to eradicate every image, every suggestion, vision, dream, impression, feeling, and all thoughts that don't contribute to your faith and don't affirm that you have what you have asked God for. That word eradicate means to uproot or remove. Get it out of your mind. Remember, Satan moves in the sense realm, in the natural realm, and he uses the tool of suggestion. Now, some people think that every kind of vision, dream, impression, or feeling they have is from God, but that's not true all the time. Satan can move in the supernatural realm too, because he's a spirit being, just like God. You've got to be able to know whether a vision, dream, impression, or suggestion is from God or Satan. Those suggestions that do not line up with the word of God are of the devil. Matthew 8 and 17 says, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our disease. Then Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. God, having of old time spoken unto the fathers in the prophets by diverse portions and in diverse manners, hath at the end of these days spoken unto us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. Folks, Jesus is God speaking to us because Jesus is the Word of God. He is the Word made flesh. He tells us that in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. And if you want to see God at work, look at Jesus. Jesus was the will of God in action while Jesus was on the earth. The Bible says Jesus went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil in Acts 10:38. In other words, if Jesus appeared to you in a vision and said that it wasn't his will to heal you, he'd be making himself out to be a liar, wouldn't he? Could it be his will for you to have what he bore for you? No, of course not. Jesus bore your sicknesses and diseases so you wouldn't have to bear them. God doesn't propagate doubt and unbelief, folks. Every image, suggestion, vision, dream, impression, feeling, and all thoughts that don't contribute to your believing that you have what you asked for should be completely cast down and eradicated. And they ought to be replaced with God's Word, 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verses 3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we don't war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but mighty before God to the casting down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that is exalted against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. God's Word says that you have your answer if you base your petition on the Word and you believe that you received it when you prayed. When you believe you receive your answer before you see it manifest, you are appropriating God's Word by faith. And it's that kind of faith that moves God, folks. There's so many times people say that they feel like God heard them when they prayed. And a lot of times, those people that say that they feel that, I know God heard me. We need to say this. Here's the proper way. I say I believe I have my answer because the Word of God says I do. Not because I feel anything. Not because I have this feeling in me that God heard me. God's Word is so whether I feel like it or not. In other words, we stand on the Word, not on what we feel, right? Faith's confession creates reality. So stand your ground and refuse to be defeated by the enemy. A lot of people keep on struggling when it comes to prayer and faith because they don't actually believe what the Word of God says. So we need to guard against every evil thought that comes into our mind to try to make you doubt God's Word. And thoughts are governed by observation, association, and teaching. So this is closely associated with what we said before. The Bible says we are to cast down every imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And that's why you ought to stay away from all places and things that don't support your affirmation that God has answered your prayer. Your thoughts are governed and affected by observations, associations, and teaching. That means that sometimes you'll have to stay away from those kinds of churches that put more unbelief in you than anything else. You've got to separate yourself from them. That's apostate believing. That's another Jesus. And also to be sure to enjoy fellowship with those who contribute to your faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5 says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honorable, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. So we see here that the Bible tells us exactly what to think on, right? Too many people are out there thinking on the wrong things, and they're defeated in their life as a result. But if you'll guard against every evil thought and think only on those things which affirm that God has heard and answered your prayers, you're going to be cooperating with God in faith. Now, you'll have to guard your mind in order to develop in faith. And as you stand your ground firm in faith, your faith will see you through to victory. So we've gotten now to where we said, all right, we need to decide what you want from God and to find the scripture or scriptures that definitely promise you these things. And then ask God for the things you want and believe that you received them. And then let every thought and desire affirm that you have what you asked for. And then guard against every evil thought that comes into your mind to try to make you doubt God's Word. Now, we want to meditate constantly on the promises upon which you base the answer to your prayer. In other words, you have to see yourself in possession of what you've asked for and make plans accordingly as if it were already a reality, right? Proverbs 4 and 22. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. So what did God say? He said, my son, attend to my words. God will make his word good in your life if you'll just act on it. And if it's healing you need, for instance, God's word says himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. And with his stripes, we are healed. And if you don't see yourself healed, then the word of God has departed from your eyes, folks. And reading the Bible, folks, will restore your mind and will uplift and refresh your spirit. The Bible says it, I believe it, and that settles it. I ain't interested in what this or that church believes, folks. I'm interested in what the Bible says. I'm not interested in what church creeds or church doctrines say. I'm interested in what the Bible says. If God's word says he hears and answers prayer, and if that word doesn't depart from before your eye, then you're bound to see yourself with the things you've asked for. And if you don't see yourself with the things you desire, then God's word has departed from before your eyes. And if you don't stand by the word, although God wants to stand by you, he can't. Because the only way God works is through his word. Remember, God only works and moves in line with his word. He's bound himself by his word. He has magnified his word above his name, he says in Psalms 138 and 2. And if you stand by the word, God's going to stand by you. He's going to make his word good in your life. But if you don't stand on God's word, then he has nothing to make good in your life. There's too many people out there that's praying and praying and praying, but they don't pray according to what the word of God says. But John 15 and 7 says this, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatsoever you will and it shall be done unto you. Jesus didn't just say, if you abide in me, ask whatsoever you will. He said this, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, then ask whatsoever you will and it shall be done unto you. With God's word abiding in us, we have a good foundation to stand on. You have to see yourself with what you've asked for, right? In every waking moment, think upon the greatness of God and his goodness, and then count your blessings. That'll increase your faith, folks. Lift your heart to God continually in increasing praise and gratitude for what he has done and for what he's doing for you right now. Philippians 4 and 6, it says, in nothing be anxious, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. That phrase, in nothing be anxious, also means do not fret or have any anxiety about anything. That's what the Amplified said. And as long as you fret and have anxiety, all the praying and fasting in the world ain't going to do you a bit of good. And the rest of Philippians 4 and 6 says, with thanksgiving. When you pray and make your request known to God, then you have to turn around and thank him for the answer. We are to pray with thanksgiving, it says. And the scripture says, do not fret or have any anxiety about anything, Philippians 4 and 6. Anything means anything, don't it? Therefore, you can let your request be known with thanksgiving because you know God's going to hear you. When I come across situations that seem impossible, what's the word? Mark 9:23. I just say all things are possible to him that believes and that I'm a believer. And sometimes that devil will tempt me and with thoughts that try to hinder my unbelief or my belief. But you know what? I got the word to stand on. And because God's word is true, I thank God for my answer before I ever see it come to pass. We praise God and thank him for all those things that we prayed for. And we need to make every prayer relative to what you've asked a statement of faith instead of unbelief. You can think and say words of faith just as easily as you can think and say words of doubt and unbelief, can't you? And it's thinking faith thoughts and speaking faith words that leads the heart out of defeat and into victory. You know, one time, speaking about the prayer of faith, Smith Wigglesworth once said, if you pray seven times for any one thing, you prayed six times in unbelief. Andrew Murray said this. He said, it's not good taste to ask God for the same thing over and over again. Andy Murray also said that if what you've prayed for hadn't materialized and you do pray again, don't pray for it again in the same way, because that would be unbelief. He said just to remind God that you asked for it and remind him of what his word says. Put him, God, in remembrance of his promises. Isaiah 43 and 26. Tell him what you're expecting and then thank him for it. You know, a lot of times people undo their prayers. They get into unbelief and just stay there. And it's just as if they're spinning their wheels in prayer. They need to get into faith and stay there. They might have to stand their ground for a period of time, but if they stay in the arena of faith, the answer is going to come. Romans 12 and 3 said, for I say, through the grace that was given me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but so to think as to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. So every believer can receive answers to his prayers. And if you say you don't have faith, then you're making God out to be a liar, right? You do have faith. Every man has faith if he's saved. But it's thinking faith thoughts and speaking faith words that lead the heart out of defeat into victory. In other words, you need to use the faith that you have in order for your faith to be effectual. Expect to receive answers to your prayers. And don't accept no for an answer. And don't be denied. It's your family right in Christ. It's your redemptive right, your gospel right, your right as a recreated, blood-bought child of God to have what God has promised you. By faith, appropriate what belongs to you, folks, and it'll come. It's yours right now by faith. So accept God's word, believe it, and it'll become a reality in your life. Folks, Jesus is our mediator. He's our intercessor. He's our advocate. He's our Lord. He stands between us and the Father. Ain't no place in the Bible is it recorded that Jesus told his disciples to pray to him. They were always to pray to the Father in Jesus' name. And if we wish to be sure of reaching the throne of God with a prayer, we have to come to God according to the rules laid down in his word. John chapter 16, 23 and 24. Listen to this. In that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. If you'll notice, Jesus said, in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Jesus said this just before he died and rose again to sit at the right hand of the Father on our behalf. And he also said, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Jesus was talking about his mediatorial position at the right hand of the Father, where he would soon ascend and be seated. And another translation of John 16:23 reads that, in that day you shall not pray to me. Jesus said we are to ask the Father in his name. And there ain't no other way to approach God. Now listen, we can worship Jesus. And we can worship because worship is a type of prayer. We can tell Jesus how much we love and appreciate him. But when it comes to praying specifically and asking for things, we must ask the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 and 15 also tells us that, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. We are to bow our knees to our Heavenly Father in prayer using the name of Jesus. Now, it's not as important which church you belong to as it is to which family you belong to. Praise God. Believers are in the family of God. And we can approach the Father God in prayer in the name of Jesus. A lot of people know about praying to God, but they don't know anything about praying to the Father. In other words, when they're praying, they don't sound as if they really know God as Father. He's God in the world, but He's Father to me. There's real joy in knowing that the Father will answer our prayers. Oh, praise be to God. We make a mistake by accepting sometimes sicknesses and adverse circumstances in our lives. I've done it because I didn't know any better. But I've since learned better, and I learned what the Word of God said. There is a joy that comes when you get answers to prayer. But if you're not getting answers to prayer, if you're not getting results, then there can be a lot of perplexity and troubles on your countenance. There's an air of doubt, perplexity, fear, and confusion about you. And you might have the attitude, I'm uncertain, I just don't know. But you know, you can know God hears you when you pray according to His Word. And your joy can be full even before you see the answer, because you're resting on the integrity of God's Word. There's no joy in all the world like seeing God moving in your family and in your home, answering your prayers. In John 16:23, Jesus is talking about individual prayer, not corporate prayer. He said, whatsoever you shall ask. And Jesus is talking about something that concerns you, isn't he? Jesus said, ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. The reasons that many of a Christian life becomes stagnant is because there's no giving away. A lot of Christians don't share what they have received from the Word of God with others. You know, and Christians can increase their joy by witnessing about the Lord's goodness in their own lives. There's no joy in all the world like leading a poor lost soul to Christ. I know it. So if you're not doing that, remember the way to keep your joy is to give it away. Jesus wants our joy to be full or complete. And we know that one way to ensure continual joy is to give our joy away. And Jesus told us in John chapter 16 that we could have fullness of joy by asking the Father in Jesus' name and by receiving whatsoever we ask for in prayer. Our text says, ask and you shall receive that your joy might be full. God wants us to receive answers to our prayers and be full of joy. Then how can we be full of joy and victory when the circumstances look dark and we have needs in our lives? Well, we're full of joy because we walk by faith and not by sight. We know that whatever we ask of the Father according to the Word, He's going to give it to us, that our joy might be full. John 16:23-24. Could your joy be full if you had great financial burdens pressing on you? If you had bills to be paid and couldn't pay them? No. Your joy couldn't be full then. But once you've asked the Father to meet your need in Jesus' name, sometimes you need to have joy before you ever see the money you ask for. You need to command it to you. You have to be just as joyous before you see the answer as you are once the answer materializes. You'll block or hinder God from helping you if you're worrying and trying to figure out how the answer's going to come. And if you're trying to figure things out, then you have the care or burden of the problem, and that means God doesn't have it. You're still carrying that load, and God can't help you. And you need to realize that fact. It does very little good, if any, to pray if you're going to continue to worry and fret and wrestle with the problem yourself. And you might as well say amen, because it's so. That's the way a lot of people act when they pray. But I'm telling you, worry can hinder you from receiving answers to God, to prayers. And worry can stop God from being able to move on your behalf. Thank God. Prayer means more than that. John 16:24 says, ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. When you pray in faith according to God's word, you are full of joy and rejoicing even before the answer materializes, because you know God heard you. You have his word for it. 1 John 5:14 says, and this is the boldness which we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions which we have asked of him. Ephesians 5:20 says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you'll notice here that Paul tells us that we are to give thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. He tells us our thanks are to be given to the Father. In all of our real praise and thanksgiving, the name of Jesus is our access to the heart of the Father. When you wish to get an answer to prayer, follow the teachings of the Word. And somebody said that it doesn't make much difference how you pray. But if it doesn't, then why did Jesus ever teach us about prayer? Why did the Holy Ghost inspire Paul to write the epistles just as they are? Folks, it's important how you pray. And to say that these verses about the scriptural way to pray aren't important would make just as much sense as it would to say that John 3:16 is not important. It's important. So when you wish to get an answer to prayer, follow the teachings of the Word and pray to the Father in the name of Jesus, giving thanks always to God in Jesus' name. When you go to the bank with a check endorsed by a wealthy man who has an account at that bank, then there will be no questions asked. That cashier is going to give you the money, ain't he? Now, listen to this. Jesus is our credit in heaven, so to speak. He has all the credit we could ever need to get our checks cashed, our prayers answered. And when God hears our children pray in faith in the name of Jesus, he responds to their prayers based on Jesus' credit or Jesus' standing in heaven. In that mighty name, God gives us the answer to our prayers. Praise God forevermore. And it makes a lot of difference whether or not our prayers are scripturally based. That's one of the reasons we fail a lot of times in our praying, because our approach is all wrong. Peter and John said that they were at the gate beautiful. Acts 3:12, why look ye so earnestly on us as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? In other words, it ain't by the believer's own power or holiness that he gets an answer to prayer. You don't get your prayers answered because you're good. You get an answer to prayer because of Jesus, because of your standing in Jesus. Well, praise God for that. Jesus has got us standing in heaven. He's the only way to approach the Father. You can't get there any other way. And thank God, in Jesus' name, we can come boldly to the throne of God. So let's use a little sense and go just like a smart children, using the mighty name of Jesus, which he's given us. Jesus gave us the right and the authority to use his name. Now, notice in John 16:23, it says, and in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Jesus gave us the right and authority to use his name in prayer. He gave us the authority to use his name. He gave it to us. Now, we have that right. He said, in my name shall they cast out devils. And we have a right to use that name against the devil, too. Thank God that name has authority. Glory to God. We have the right to use that name to call out demons that bind men's souls up with darkness and disease. You know something? When you go to your automobile, you got a key, don't you? And that key unlocks the door. And you say that you unlock the door, but you don't unlock the door. It's the key that does it. And you also got a key that fits the ignition. And ordinarily, you couldn't start the car if you didn't have a key. And again, you don't actually start the car, the key does. The key is the important factor to the entire process of unlocking and starting that car. And if you begin to look at the authority in the name of Jesus from that standpoint, in other words, I'm not the one who's going to cast out any devils. I don't have any authority in myself in the natural. But Jesus gave me the key to all the authority I would ever need. And it's in his name. Jesus' name is the key. His name has the authority. And all I have to do is use the key. And the key does the work. And that should alleviate any fear that I have. Because you're able to use the name, because the name is the key, and that name works. It'll start that car up every time. Now, I'd like to encourage you to meditate on the word after you study it, because your spirit can be educated and trained. But just because you read the word of God doesn't mean your spirit is educated. You can read the Bible and not understand what you're reading, and it ain't going to mean a thing to you. The word has to get down on the inside of you, in your heart or your spirit. You get the revelation of the word in your heart by meditating on it. And I think sometimes that's the way it is with people who read the word of God. They know less when they finish reading it than they did when they began. And they're trying to grasp the truth of God's word with their minds. But you have to get the revelation of God's word in your heart. And after studying the word, then shut your eyes and begin to meditate on that word. And just think about the scriptures that you just got through reading and studying. And the Holy Ghost will teach us the word. All the power of heaven is at our disposal in that name. But if believers don't exercise their rightful authority in the name of Jesus, then ain't nothing in the world going to be done about their situation. So get that faith, those faith scriptures down in your heart, down in your spirit, and believe them. Now, I want to tell you a couple of little stories about what has, when we prayed for folks, what happened. Prayer, what happens when you pray. One time, about 4 or 5 years ago, we saw, David and I saw a large blizzard coming our way. I mean, it stretched from all the way from southern Alabama all the way up into Kentucky and Illinois and up in that area. And all the way, probably 200 miles across too, deep. And I was showing David the radar on that thing, and he said, well, let's just pray against that. I said, my goodness, that's a big storm. So we did. We prayed that that storm would split and go around us. Now, they were predicting anywhere from 8 to 12 inches of snow to come in that storm headed our way. So we prayed, we watched that thing by radar. And soon as it got to close to us, it started breaking away right in the middle, right around us. It went right around us. And that told me then, is, man, you can pray for God to do anything. All we got was a little dusting of snow, very minute amount of snow. But everybody around us, all the way around us, got inches upon inches, anywhere from 8 to 12 inches of snow, sometimes 14 inches of snow around us. So that taught me a valuable lesson to believe God for just anything. Don't put him in the box. Another time, I'll tell you about, there was a lady in a church back in Arkansas that they had told me about that had cancer. Now, this was in a Baptist church, and they had told me about, and the Lord impressed upon me, this was on a Sunday night, I believe, and the Lord impressed upon me to go and pray for that lady, and to take the pastor and the youth pastor with me. So I told him, I said, come on, let's go pray for that woman. And we went over there, and she told me she had cancer, that she wasn't even able to pick up her newborn grandchild. She never had been able to hold it because of the pain in her body. And I said, well, sister, you ready to pick up that baby? She said, oh, yeah. I said, okay. And I gave her the word, you know, Mark 11:24, said that's what we're going to pray. We're going to believe what we pray. And so I commanded the spirit of cancer off of her and just prayed for her. And then I told her, I said, now get up, man. And she got up, and oh, she was so happy. She was so happy, y'all. She was able to lift her grandchild up in her arms and dance around the living room floor there with that child. She was so happy. But you know what happened? Because she didn't have the scriptures in her to believe and keep on believing, she allowed the devil to talk her out of that that healing. And it wasn't long after that that she died. And that's why it's invaluable for you to be in a place to where you get the word of God in your heart from the people around you. And many other places, I prayed for other people, and God healed them of cancer, same type of cancer she's had. And they're still cancer-free to this day because they believe what the word of God says, and they kept on believing. And then that demon's tried to come back on them. I just rebuke it. You know, and that's the great thing about the gospel the God that we serve is that he wants us to learn his word, get it in our spirit, and once you get it in our spirit, the devil can't take it away from you. He cannot take it away from you. And so, folks, I'm out of time. God bless you, and we'll see you again next time, God willing.